produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to a Better Broken radio broadcast. I am your host, Angie West. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 34:18, which says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Each program, I have continued sharing how your brokenness is a big deal to God. If you are His child, He promises to take care of you and your broken pieces of life. Whether you're His child or not, He promises that He loves you unconditionally, and He wants for all of us to know that. He wants for us to choose Him alone over anything else in our lives. The plans of this show is to continue to build up, to encourage, and to share more testimonials like mine in order to give further help in our young people's lives and in your lives. Everyone needs to know that they are still loved by God, even if they've made mistakes in their lives. Instead of completely hiding our skeletons in the closet, we all need to know that everyone does make wrong choices in our lives at times. But no matter what they've chosen, you can be forgiven and used by God. As always, I will be sharing how you can move past the brokenness in your life and how you, too, can become a better broken. Let's review some of the things that we have already talked about. In the introduction, I spoke of how you're not too young or too old to experience brokenness in your life. It is what we do with those trials and those broken parts of our lives that make us or they can break us. In Romans 5:3-4, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." The experiences of our life can bring hope if we trust in Jesus Christ. God does not give us burdens, but he allows Satan to have his way in giving burdens in order to test us, to try us, and to mold us, and to help us daily renew our brokenness by learning to have more faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 1, which was titled, "In the Beginning There Was Brokenness," I talked about how it all began with the creation and the fall of man back in Genesis chapters 2 through 3, where Satan tempted Eve, but worse than the temptation, she gave in to the very thing that she was being tempted of, and for the first time ever, she knew that she was a sinner. As humans, like Adam and Eve after their fall, we too can sin and fall into Satan's trap. Again, I talked about it, that it was their choice to sin. We have the freedom to choose to sin or not to sin. The choice that Adam and Eve were given is a picture that led us to our choice of where we would spend our eternal life. Just like we see today in the consequences from Adam and Eve's choices, we will receive consequences for our own bad decisions. If you haven't asked for the Lord's forgiveness, if you haven't fully accepted Jesus as you, in your life, and if you haven't given your burdens fully to God, it's going to eventually destroy you and the person you are. So choose the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Then in chapter 2, I spoke of the title of chapter 2 is Broken Curiosity Leads to Broken Choices. And then I talked about how no matter how many times we are broken, Jesus loves us unconditionally. He is the only one that can put all of our broken pieces back together. He is always there for us, and I have no doubt that he sends special people in our lives to help us in our time of need. When you struggle with something in your lives, make sure that you go to someone that is older and wiser and that can help you in these times in your lives. We can all struggle with saying no. I've learned the true meaning of James 4:17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Something that I have learned is that one sin leads to another. Usually each temptation becomes bigger and stronger, and I pray that you will see and know that you're not alone in these battles that you're facing. We all have temptations that we face and that we fight. In chapter 3 spoke of buried brokenness. There are situations that might arise in your life that is without approval. Maybe you're coerced to do something that you're not wanting to do. Maybe you've tried to hide some things that you didn't want anybody to know about. Well, this type of coercion is considered as abuse. In today's wicked and sinful society, we hear more and more of situations just like this. Sometimes it's hard to pick up these type of broken pieces in our lives, and it's hard to give it to the Lord, but it is a must in order to put our pieces back together and move on in our lives. We must give our burdens to the Lord. When it feels like your life is falling apart and you're all alone, trust in him. You may not feel his presence at these particular moments in your life, but know that he is God and he is there. We may not understand the things that we may be going through at the time, but realize that God has a purpose and a plan for every situation in our lives. In chapter 4, the title was Covering Up Brokenness with Sin. It is not the temptation that becomes sin, but it's the decision that we choose to partake in the temptation that is before us that actually becomes the sin. The more we thrive on temptations, the weaker that we become to actually commit the sin. If we walk away from the temptations, we are blessed for our endurance to leave and cling to the Lord Jesus Christ in these trying times, as it says in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. There are times that the Lord may test us, but one thing that we need to realize and learn is that the temptation never comes from God. Therefore, we cannot blame Him if we step into sin. And I gave some ways how we could resist and flee from temptation. Number one was to realize that you're not the only one who is tempted. We are all tempted. Number two, the Lord will not allow for us to be tempted above what we are able to handle. Number three, stay away from those who continually try you and tempt you. Number four, run from any kind of situation that tempts you and resist what you know is wrong and totally surrender your life to the Lord. When disappointments arise in our lives, we can develop bitterness if we hold it inside. It is solely by God's grace and our dependence upon Him that keeps us from reaching this point, as it states in Hebrews 12:15. A right relationship with Christ will keep us from getting to this point that I'm speaking of. Then we talked about in chapter 3, which is entitled Continuing in Brokenness. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for outwardly appearing holy and clean, but inwardly their hearts were unclean and corrupt. I talked about the definition of a Pharisee, who is a self-righteous or hypocritical person, outwardly living your life to please others and giving the appearance that you are good while having deep sin in your heart that is buried is hypocritical, as it says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 28. If you have ever seen the Tom and Jerry cartoon where there is a good angel on one side of Tom's head and the devil angel on the other side, you know that that is exactly how it feels sometimes. It's a battle that we all face in different ways. When we rely on our own strength and wisdom, we will fail every time. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, and if we set our affections on things above, as it states in Colossians 3, verses 2 through 3, we will have the power that only the Holy Spirit can give us to break free from the chains of sin, which Satan continually binds us. And I gave some ways to deal with our evil desires versus the fruit of the Spirit. Number one was there are two forces that constantly work against us. You can either produce strength in the Lord, or you can let them destroy you as you submit to what Satan wants. It's really a choice that we all must make. It's a daily task, and we have to pep talk or coach ourselves to keep our eyes on Jesus and to walk in His Spirit every day of our lives. I know it's easier said than done, but it's the only way that we can survive as Christians as we live day by day. Number two is the only way that we can overcome any of these temptations is to totally give them to the Lord. But before He can help us, we have to know Him as Christians. We have to know Him by being born again. And we have to love Him unconditionally. And we have to be like Him every day of our lives. We try to be like Him. Number three was, if you are truly born again, you are given power by the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. The only way that we can do this is to crucify the flesh, as it says in Galatians 5, verse 24, or to die daily, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 31. And then number four, I talked about how I had lived a hypocritical life at one point in my life, seeking the approval of only man and not God. I lived right on the outside, but ignored it on the inside. We can all struggle with this if we're not careful. That was because I was not truly born again at this time. And even as a Christian, you can struggle with this as well. When you're truly a child of God, you will seek to please Him and only Him. And you will not care about what others say about you. You only need His approval for your life. Sometimes we can stray away from that. And we have to remember that God is there for us, and we need to confess those sins before the Lord. Today, our topic will be chapter 5 is the repetition is the key to brokenness. As a teacher, my students often heard me say the phrase, repetition is the key to learning. I heard it often while I was in college myself, and I quickly learned that this statement is very true. I'm the type of student that learned more by things being repeated over and over. As a matter of fact, that is exactly how I studied. I would write out a study guide, and then I would repeat the question or statement or Bible verse until I had it memorized over and over and over. That kind of repetition is good, but there are some kinds of repetition that are not good for our lives. I may have practiced good repetition skills in my study habits and even in certain places or events that I had developed as good habits, but there were some bad habits that were repetitive as well. Romans 7:15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." We cannot fight sin in our own strength. If we allow, Satan will continue to tempt us. But if we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome Satan, we will continue to repeat the sin that is set before us. Hebrews 12:2-4 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." I personally was more concerned with my selfish desires than what God wanted for my life. I was not willing to give up my will for His will. So I would continue to repeat the same cycle over and over. And if you're not careful, you too can do the same thing for your life. Even though I thought that I was saved because of the sinner's prayer that I prayed, I did not have a personal relationship with Christ, so I was not truly born again like I thought I was. I should have taken heed to warning signs that had been set before me, but I chose not to do so. Bad habits form with bad decisions. I was in the habit of having unconfessed sin in my life. I ignored warning signs that were given to me. I would brag about sins and I would lie to cover up my wrongdoings. I had my own plans instead of depending on God's will for my life, and I allowed myself at times to be in dangerous situations. Here are some ways that I should have dealt with these bad habits instead of repeating them, and these are ways that can help you when you deal with certain situations as this in your life. Number one, I should have taken heed to the warning signs that were before me. Even as an unsaved person, you can also receive warning signs. I had plenty of people who tried to reveal warning signs to me, but I allowed Satan to mislead me. There were many times in my life where I should have focused on His Word, prayed earnestly for His will, and listened to godly counsel. But I did not do those things. I should have listened to the warning signs and taken heed, which means to be aware. As Christians, number two, we should be examples and set apart from the world. We should be different. I am not quite sure why I thought that I was so cool in my younger days when I would brag to friends about sins that I had committed. We're certainly not to judge others, but neither are we to act like the world. And there are times that we've all had times in our life that we act like the world. Why do we brag about these things? Well, because it's temporarily a time that it makes them feel better when they talk about those things. That's how Satan designed for it to be. He's happy when we talk about things and we brag about things that we have done that are not pleasing to the Lord. Number three, I should have been honest with myself as well as with others. Isaiah 29:15 states, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?" I know in my heart that there's nothing that I can hide from God. But still, sometimes we try to justify our sin by saying certain things are God's will when it's really not His will or His timing. Sometimes we rush God's timing. And sometimes we are wrong and we're not willing to see that we're wrong or admit that we're wrong. So when we fall short and we make mistakes, instead of trying to cover up or lie our way out of sin, it's best that we admit that we are wrong when we're wrong, and then allow for God to change us and to make us who we need to be as Christians. We cannot do it on our own. We have to rely upon God and have His strength as we allow Him to change our lives. And then number four, I should have cared about warning signs that were given to me. I was so wrapped up in myself and what I wanted that I didn't realize that I was living the way that I was. I did not care about any of the warning signs. John chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." I was a servant of sin. I was allowing for sin to control my life in some ways. I knew that Jesus could help me to break free from my own selfish desires. And Jesus can help you to break free from your selfish desires. Hebrews 12:7-10 tells us that the Lord allows for us to be chastised, corrected, or even placed in dangerous situations to help us learn what is wrong and what is right for our lives. He doesn't want for us to choose that path, but He allows for us to make our own choices. And when we choose to go down the wrong path, we will suffer for consequences that we make. He loves us, and He is never pleased with punishing us or allowing for us to go through things, but He is using this as training time to help teach us, to mold us, and to make us into better Christians if we are His children. Why have there been times that I have not made better choices in my life? Well, I've asked myself that question probably a million times. I was not sure why I didn't seek the Lord at that time of my life, but I knew that the Lord had plans for me, and I learned later in life that the Lord had greater plans for me all along. So I finally learned in my life that it was better to turn to the Lord and His ways and to make better choices in my life. In Timothy 3, verses 13 through 15, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." This teaches us that false teachers are everywhere, and Satan is certainly the worst false teacher of them all. He works in our minds constantly. So find people that will help you to see who God really is. Go to those and counsel with those that will turn you towards God's will for your life. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, Paul was dealing with the church situation where the people were too proud to deal with it. Some people talk, but that's all they do is talk. We're not to judge others, but we're not to tolerate sin either. Those who I became so open with had every right to tell of their concerns for me. In Proverbs 28:13-14, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. These verses plainly state that we will not get anywhere in this life if we do not acknowledge the mistakes that we make in our own lives. We will either keep reaping the same sin, or we will be drawn into something even deeper. No one likes to be punished in any way, but as it says in Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 10, it is a way that we have to learn. When we are little, we fall and we get back up. We do something wrong, the grown-up in charge gives us punishment. It is a fact of life that the Lord also allows for us to be punished if we fail Him. We are punished not because they dislike us or the Lord doesn't love us, but because they love us and want for us to learn from our bad choices in our lives. Has the Lord gotten your attention in any way? How has He helped you to heal from your struggles? Remember, no matter what you're going through, God is still there for you. He loves you, and through your brokenness, no matter what it may be, you can be used by Him. When it seems like you're alone, remember that you're not alone. It's my desire to share what the Lord places in my heart, and I pray that I am a blessing to you in each of these programs. As I close the program for today, I want to again say a special thank you to the Lifted Authors Radio Network for allowing us to be a part of this wonderful organization. I also wanted to say a special thank you to Kayla Padgett and Tammy Polk for asking me to be involved in this program, to my husband for his love and support, to my kids and other family and precious friends that God has blessed me with. Thank you all for your continuous love and support. And I also want to say a very special thank you to all of you who are listening. Again, this has been a Better Broken radio broadcast. My name is Angie West. Join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program right here. Or you can listen on my Facebook page at A Better Broken Radio Broadcast. If you are interested in my handmade resin jewelry that's advertised, you can also find me on my Facebook and Instagram business pages under the title A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. If you're interested in my books, you can also find them on Amazon.com under author Angie West. Again, thank you and have a wonderful and blessed day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Far, but I knew something different from the start. My story, yeah. enough story.
Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. Welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, the show where I, your host, Angel Charmaine, share my books, and I invite authors, Christian authors, to share their stories through their books to inspire you to speak up and share your own story. Today, I have invited author Valerie Champion into the Speak Up Sis space to discuss expressions of the soul. Hello, Valerie. How are you?
I'm awesome, Angel. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for saying yes to this interview. I'm really excited to talk to you this evening about expressions of the soul. But before we get into that, tell us, who is Valerie Champion?
Awesome. Valerie Champion is a native of Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up on the west side of Atlanta, proud graduate of Booker T. Washington High School Bulldogs. Yay! I am a mother of many, and I say that. I birthed two, but I have many who calls me mama. I am the proud grandmother of one. His name is Braylon.
Hello.
He's 5 years old, and now I reside in Douglasville, Georgia, and I am a self-published author. Of course, Expression of the Soul is my first book, and I am working on my second one. And I guess I am also a prayer warrior. I have I run a prayer line with a sister friend of mine, and it's called Prayers of the Righteous Prayer Ministry. We've been praying, interceding for about 8 years straight. Okay. On behalf of people, it is an honor, and it is my responsibility. So I don't take it lightly.
That's what's up. So do people actually send you all prayer requests, or is it that people come onto the line and they ask, like, how does that even work with people, you praying for people? How does that work?
Yes, we get prayer requests, via text, through our Facebook Messenger. Some people call in on the line and give them verbally. And then there's a form. If they want to submit it via email, they're able to submit their prayer request via email as well. So yeah, we get prayer requests, and we've had some praise reports as well. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I was listening to a brother tonight. His name is, I'm not even gonna like tear up his last name because he's from Ghana, but he's a bishop. His name is Michael, and he does a live on Facebook. And tonight he said something akin to, you can't be a Christian without results. And I was like, wow. Okay. It stops you.
Yeah.
And it gives you reason to pause, right? And it's like, there should be some fruit. Mm-hmm. There should be some results. So I'm glad to hear that you get some feedback to say, hey, we got some praise reports, because if you're praying for people and interceding and no praise reports are coming, mm-hmm. it's like, what y'all doing?
Exactly. I totally agree with him.
So that's what's up. You saying that made me think about that. So, all right then, that's what's up. And before we get finished with this conversation at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity
to give the people contact information for you so that they'll be able to reach out to you if they want to be a part of the prayer line, or, you know, if there's some people who need prayer and they want you all to pray for them. I want to make sure that they get that information, because prayer is definitely needed, which is what we're going to talk about today, because prayer is an expression of the soul, right?
Right.
So I want to start by reading a piece of your introduction. And yes, everybody, I have a copy of Expressions of the Soul right here in my hand. It's a beautiful red book. And we're going to tell you how you can get your copy a little later, but we want to talk about it first. So I want to read just a little piece from your introduction, because this really connected with me. You say, when I started writing, I found that it was therapeutic for my mental sanity. I would write when mad and upset, or when my heart felt like praising God. I definitely picked up a pen and paper when I felt like I was getting depressed. It allowed me to write from the soul.
Yes.
That grabbed me. Because I often say that writing is therapeutic. It's like free therapy.
Yes. Yes, it is. And if you notice, I do have, a few quotes on the back, about poetry. And the last one is mine. And it says, poetry, as simply as it can be, is an emotional healing tool that allows you to freely express your soul.
Yes.
Gallery champion.
Yes. So, talk to us a little bit about how poetry has been therapeutic for you. How has it helped you keep your sanity?
Well, I'll tell you, this book came about, in 2003, I guess I would say, is when I started writing. Now, mind you, let me go back just a little. I used to write poetry, little bitty, you know, red, roses of red, violets of blue, those type of poetry.
Right.
In school, you know, so I love to write, number one. Of course, I got away from it as I became an adult. But when I moved to Douglasville in 2003 and I was going through some challenges with my youngest son, in addition to, my marriage, I couldn't do anything to help me get through it until I started writing. So I started writing poetry, and the words just started to flow, because I that was how I was able to express being depressed,
right?
Because my marriage was dissolving, upset because my son was driving me crazy, getting going through his issues in school. And then the mere fact that I was about to become a single parent, again. So writing helped me keep my sanity. Prayer and writing, should I add, help me keep my sanity.
Right. I feel you on that one. I always say that writing helps me take what's in my head and in my heart, right? Yes. And it helps to pull that stuff out of me. It makes it real. It makes it tangible. It helps me to acknowledge what the thing is. As long as it stays on the inside, it's like I don't really know what to do with it. But writing allows me to write the junk of my life out of me. If that makes sense.
Yes, because, you know, there are things that you don't want to share, with others publicly, but, you know, you're able to still get it out in writing. You know, I write my prayers down. Because like I don't, in the conversation previously that you and I have had, I just felt like I didn't know how to pray.
Right.
But I could write a prayer. you know, if that makes sense to
oh,
you,
yeah.
You know, but to say, Valerie, will you, pray out loud and no, I don't want to do that. You know, that was a time when that was me, but writing helped me express my prayers too.
Listen, so if you all haven't figured out yet, Expressions of the Soul is a book of poetry. And it is like a book of prayers. There are a few actually, and we're not going to give everything away, but there's one that I want to take a look at. And I want you to kind of maybe share with us where it came from, because I'm going to tell you, it reminds me of like the sinner's prayer. And it starts out by saying, when the darkness of the night to me feels oh so right, I can only guess what the reason could be. It is because the Lord has turned his face from me. Yes. It's the beginning of condemned soul. And I was like, whoa, when the darkness of the night to me feels oh so right.
Mm.
Oh, girl, I was like, I wasn't ready for that. He turned his face from me. Hard. Please share. Oh, tell me, where did that prayer come from?
Like, when I moved out here in Douglasville, I wasn't going to church. I wasn't following Jesus. I wasn't doing any of that. But when I moved out here, I found a church home, and you know, you have one foot in and you have one foot out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was a point when I was separated from my husband, but yet I was dating somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like there was a dark cloud over my life, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't understand why everything is like going so wrong. I guess God is like, is not there for me anymore. He's turned his face away from me.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's just dark. My soul has been condemned.
Wow. That to think about the feeling of something feeling good in the dark. You know, his face is turned away from you when you start feeling good in your darkness. Right.
Yes. And it was so good, you know, cause I wasn't lonely.
Right.
I wasn't lonely cause I was dating somebody else. Like I said, so, and then it was, but it felt good. But at the same time, I knew that there was darkness because of everything that was going wrong.
Right.
You know, even though I felt good being with somebody, and not being alone every single night.
Mm-hmm.
But yet when I wake up in the morning, I really didn't like the person that I saw in the mirror. But I guess at that particular time also I was in a position to where, I didn't like myself. And that was how I ended up in a relationship right after I separated with my husband.
Right.
You know, jump from out of one relationship into another one. And it felt good because I wasn't lonely anymore. I felt like, ooh, I got somebody or somebody has me. Let me put it that way. Or somebody has me. And it felt good, but because I knew it was wrong, because at that time, like I said, I was getting into church. I was even trying to make him go to church.
That's what we do, right?
You know, so that's where condemned soul and yeah.
It's a good one. It's actually one of my favorites in the book, Expressions of the Soul. So listen, right here on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, I like to keep it real and raw and relevant, as I do on all Speak Up Sis platforms. But one thing I really like to do in this space is deal with real life issues that everyday people, you know, deal with, but to explore them from a kingdom perspective. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And so that's real. What you're saying, you know, being married, being separated, being lonely in the separation, connecting with someone else and still, you know, having to deal with the fact that you love God, right? What do you do about that? And I agree with you there. Writing helps you to actually see a thing for what it is. I also want to take a look at another one. You and I talked a little bit about it, but I want you to share with our listeners. And just in case you all haven't figured this out, you need to go grab a copy of Expressions of the Soul. It is, it's a good read. It may be a quick read for some of you, but it's poetry. And so whenever I read poetry, I like to just savor.
One at a time. Yeah.
One at a time. Yeah. Yeah. I don't need a big hefty. No, I just need some good stuff that allows me to, you know, chew up the meat and spit out the bone. So I want to talk a little bit about young ego. This one is an expression of hurt and pain.
Yes.
Right. Tell me as well as the listeners, you know, what caused this expression?
This particular poem right here is about my youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was a period, in his life when, he was smelling himself, and he was smelling himself real bad.
He was funky, girl.
He was funky. and he did a little in disrespectful mood, while his girlfriend was around.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said the B word to his mama.
Ooh! Fighting words.
I had to come in here, get on my knees and tell God to get him out my house because I'm finna kill him.
Oh my goodness.
So he was gone. He left my house. His dad had to call me to let him back in.
Mm.
But this particular poem right here I wrote it that night. I was that upset. I was that pissed off. I was that hurt. Because I never thought that my son would disrespect me in that manner.
Right.
He had never done that before. And so it hurt me. And then for him to do it in front of his girlfriend.
Right.
That hurt even worse. So that's where young ego came from. And I told God, I said, you know, I have prayed about him most of his life and I gave him to you, when he was in the sixth grade. I told you, I'm just going to feed him and go where I got to go, but he's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, Lord, he's yours.
Right. Right. Let me tell you, this first two lines of this poem, I bore you through tears and pain. And as the years went by, your actions caused the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I was like, my God, what mother has not thought this, felt this, lived this, breathed this at some point? We all get to that place, don't we? Like, it hurt to bring you here and the stuff you're doing mm-hmm. is causing me the same kind of hurt, a different part of the body, but mm-hmm. the same kind of hurt.
Yes. It's yes. Crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. I know it makes you stop. I'm telling you, that's why for me, I don't write poetry, but I love to read poetry. And I love the fact that you said you were writing your prayers.
Yes.
I like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think people need to realize that God can read too. If you don't know what to say, writing works. I just had, the previous Speak Up Sis Talk Radio guest. We talked about writing to heal. And, you know, that's her whole thing. She has a whole, course that people can go through and all those kind of things. I think people need to understand that writing is a viable way of praying. If you can't verbalize it, if you can't get it to come out your mouth, if you grab a pen and some paper and just write, God can read too.
It takes my son, Angel, to tell you how many journals I have. He's like, how many you have? I said, look, I have to keep them around the house because it's like wherever I am, if I need to write right then, I can't be running around trying to find one. No, mm-hmm. I write it right then. And a lot of them have prayers. Some of them start off with, Father, it's me again, mm-hmm. your dog. You know, it's yep. like.
Yeah. Do you ever go back through them to maybe check off answered prayers, or do you ever kind of go back and just and read and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I prayed for this and this has happened, or God has answered this prayer, or do you ever do that?
Yes. I give you an example. I actually wrote up my prayer down and I had asked for God to bring my husband back. And so, you know, as time went by, a few months later, I wrote again, Lord, I don't trust him. I can't do it. And God said, I gave you what you asked for. Mm-hmm. Ah. You asked me to bring him back.
You asked for him back. I gave him back to you. Now you want me to take him again?
Okay. Yeah. So yes, ma'am. I do review. I love going back to see, because it tells me where I was right. at that particular time. And so a lot of times I pray. Sometimes I forget to date them because I just be writing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I look back. Sometimes I can remember. Oh yeah, I remember this. Oh
yes. 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 I'm gonna tell you. I remember one time. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go back and read my journal from last year. And what was I doing last year this time? I do that kind of thing. What was I doing? Because I date them. What was I doing last year this time? And I went to read and I realized that I had wrote almost the exact same thing the year prior on that day. So I was like, wow, this is... You know, what a coincidence, you know, a little mm-hmm. crazy dink. So I said, well, let me go back, you know, so mm-hmm. I went back the year before that same day and I had written just about the same thing. I went back 3 years and I had written the same prayers, the same issues, the same. So it was, I had just moved to different locations and was dealing with different mm-hmm. people, but it was the same stuff. And through my writing, through me writing out prayers, writing out the junk of my life and my heart, God yes. showed me my cycle.
Mm-hmm.
He revealed to me that for 3 years, I had been going in a circle. I was in a vicious cycle. And I was so ashamed and so I just could not believe that I was doing the same things with different people and totally different locations with the same stuff. And after that, I said, I will no longer be in this cycle. And that next year, I was intentional about doing things differently. I was like, you know what? No, I've done this before. No, I'm not doing this again. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of the beautiful things about writing it down, writing your prayers down, writing down what's going on in your life, writing down the expressions of your soul, your heart, your being, because it allows you to see yourself.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And in one of the poems in Expressions of the Soul, is a daily affirmation that I actually had to write for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had to write that and repeat that to myself in the mirror every single day. Because like I mentioned, I didn't like myself. I tried to be who other people thought I was. It stemmed from, of course, you know, childhood things, you know, teenage years, but I didn't like the woman in the mirror.
Mm.
And it meant to like who God created me to be. I wrote that affirmation.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. I have an affirmation in one of my journals. I used to get up and read it every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. But yours is a good one. It's a good one as well. I'm not going to read it. They're just going to have to get the book.
Yes. One of them is not called Daily Affirmation. It's Take Me As I Am. And yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, I need for you guys to read this, because there's somebody out there, that is struggling with your identity, knowing who your worth is, knowing who you are. You are trying to be who somebody else. No, love your eyes, love your lips, love your nose, you know, love who you are.
In my book, Speak With She, One Woman, Ten Truths, I believe it's the very first conversation, in the book is called, Fall in Love in the Shower.
Yep, it is.
And that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about.
That was like, when I read that, I was like, huh? I was like, well, I gotta read this one.
When you, that first line will mess you up. If you know what's wild about that, that particular conversation, I remember a good friend of mine, bought a few of my books and gave them to some women at her church. And one of the ladies came back to her and said, is she a lesbian? She said, you didn't read the whole thing. Oh, goodness. I said, you know what? People just don't read no more. But yes, I totally understand getting to that place where, you realize that I don't love who I see in the mirror. I don't even recognize that person in the mirror. I don't know that person in the mirror, but knowing that you need to know that person, you got to get to know that person in order to heal. You got to get to a place where you love that person, you know, and I believe as I read, the different pieces and expressions of my soul, that you got to that place, where you are able to love the woman, that you saw in the mirror. You're able to reconcile spirit, soul, and body by expressing, you know, the issues that you had in your soul. So listen, can you believe it? We are so out of time.
So fast.
It goes by so quickly. I try to tell people all the time, like, these conversations, they happen really quickly. But let me tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed having this conversation with you. I bless God for your life. I thank him for giving you the idea, the thought to actually put your prayers down on paper and to put it in book form to be able to help somebody else be able to get through whatever it is they have to get through. Speak Up Sis is rooted in Revelation 12 and 11, for we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's exactly what Expressions of the Soul is. It is the words of your testimony expressed through your soul, through poetry and a book. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So how can the people connect with you outside of this platform? Do you have any social media handles or anything of that nature? I know you also have a blog. So please let everyone know how they can connect with you.
Awesome. I am on Facebook under Valerie Champion. You might even find me. I am Valerie Champion. I believe Facebook has I am Valerie Champion. Okay. Instagram also, I am Valerie Champion. I am also on LinkedIn under Valerie Champion. I'm trying to stay close to my name as possible.
Good.
And yes, please be able to check out my blog. It's called Your Spiritual Tea, and it's a post every Monday morning to start your week off, to encourage you, to motivate, to inspire you with the word of God. And sometimes I might post during the week, but for the most part, and there's a new post every Monday. And you can reach me via email at iam.valeriechampion@gmail.com.
Valerie, thank you, sis, for joining me today and sharing the expressions of your soul with me and the Speak Up Sis Talk Radio family. I appreciate you. All right, everyone, we're done for the day. I thank you for your time and your ear and for tuning in to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, where authors have a chance to share their stories to inspire yours. Visit me online at speakupsis.com and follow me on Facebook at Speak Up Sis Talk Radio and Instagram at speak.up.sis. Until next time, have a beautiful day and be blessed. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.